I'll tell you what, it was a big day in Vallejo, California, the day the Ohio players came to play the downtown disco. That's what we've been on.
Are you in attendance?
I was not. I was not able to attend. Like, the Ohio players? What are they doing here? Yeah. Whitey Gleason, Jay Johnson, with you today. Hal Draper, not on a roller coaster. He was on the flight to Detroit. We should be hearing from him. It was Kyle who said a week ago, we got to get off the roller coaster. We can't get off the roller coaster, Jay. The roller coaster continues through a rocky, rocky homestand. Now out onto the road, and we got some interesting information here in the chat from Julian, who says, Cade Cunningham, Isaiah Stewart out tomorrow, LaMelo out in Charlotte. We got to win those games. Yep. Even if they played. Yep. Got to win those games. Right?
Sound like Monday. LaMelo out. Got to win that game.
Yeah. And then we've got some trade ideas, and I'm not going to mention that this is from Beamer Beams Beamly, come on, we're better than this, Triple B, aren't we? What about Toronto LA three-way with Pascal going to Lakers? We get D'Lo for the second unit and start Monk. How is D'Angelo Russell going to make the Kings any better? He didn't guard. He has no interest in guarding people. The Kings now. Most of the players on the team, at least they have interest in trying to guard people. They're not very good at it. And the coach points out, we're not very good at it, but they try. D'Angelo Russell has like no interest in playing defense. I've watched him. I remember when he was with the Warriors and he, on one possession, he guarded somebody and Draymond Green said, well, now we know you can do it. So now we're going to expect you to do that. He has played well for the Lakers, but that's not the type of deal we need. That's just moving pieces around. If the Kings are going to do something, they need to do something impactful. You need to bring in somebody who's going to make them better defensively, Jay.
Well, Whitey, I think we've come down to a point, and you know, there's going to be some names who move who we don't know.
Yeah.
Right? There's going to be some people, some pieces. I don't want to call them pieces, but there are going to be some players who will be traded, and you know, we haven't heard their name be tossed around anywhere. Who do you have your eye on? Like, if you're you know, fantasy GM, whatever we want to call it. Who's Whitey picking right now? Well, who are you pinpointing?
Julian has this name. Drapes and I have talked about him. Caruso would make us better. But
how much better?
He would make you significantly better defensively. He would make your bench better. Right now, one of the reasons the Kings can't even think about starting Monk, which I think they're against anyway, and they should be, but I understand a lot of people, and I think you're one of them. My buddy Chris says he should start Monk. The Kings really struggle. Yeah,
I said shout out, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. When Fox is off the floor and Sabonis off the floor, but when Fox is off the floor, you look it up, it's like, wow, there's a drop off. They need somebody, and Monk can play the backup point when Fox isn't there. One of the reasons you need Monk off the bench is because he helps balance when Fox isn't there.
But I think you can stagger him a la what you used to see with Steph and Clay. I think you can pull Monk quicker than you pull De'Aaron. You know, used to see it with Steph and Clay.
Were, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, Clay would come off maybe after the first six, sit for a quick four, you know, because by time Curry would play the extra two and then the timeout, the TV timeout and all that. Then you come back, Curry sits, Clay finished his last four. I think you can stagger them. There's a way to stagger them in the fact of I get Monk is one of your top three or four guys on this team, and I understand you need the power off the bench. But I think that just tells me, and it's just what you're saying, then – this team is defunct of talent. They really lack the amount of talent that most people believe coming in. And, you know, I want to pat myself on the back, but it kind of makes me look good in the fact that I believe you should have moved Herder. You should have moved Barnes. You had the opportunity to do those things. And a lot of Sacramento Kings fans have said that for a long time. Move some of these guys that the Kings seem to have. And again, we don't know. Whitey, let me make sure I preface it that. I don't know what phone call, who been called, why they haven't moved these guys. Maybe they truly think these guys are championship talent. Then if that's the case, we got to roll with it and we got to swallow the pill. But if what we're hearing is said, you know, is true rather, some of these guys aren't with championship talent. They don't believe it. They believe they need to shake some things up. Let's get on with it. Understand, there's a season to everything. I'm not pressing the panic button. I'm not saying it has to happen tomorrow. I'm saying, and I've said this, they should have did it when they were at their peak, when Kevin Huerter had the highest trade value, which was probably at the end of trade deadline last year or this offseason, make the move. If you believe that coming in, then you still believe it now.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. And I'm one of the people saying, make a move, make a move. If you're having to improve by acquiring free agents or making trades, you are limited by what's available.
Truth.
Now, if you develop your own guys, like Oklahoma City has done, and you've got all these picks, then you're not as dependent on you're not as dependent on foreign oil, so to speak.
Yes.
But you know what I mean.
Of course.
So, yeah, last summer, and that's one of the reasons Kings fans are so anxious right now. It's like, let's go. Let's do something. Let's do something. And they looked around, and what was available is like, okay, those are some good names, but they don't, all things considered, do they make us better? We'll bring back Harrison Barnes. All right, so now's your next chance to get better. The deadline approaching. Is there anybody there yet? I hope so. Maybe, you know, the smart move would be, I don't think so. Then that's kind of a little bit discouraging to think what's going to happen the rest of the year. Caruso's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
DeJounte Murray's a good player, but he's not a perfect fit. I think he'd be a guy that I'd be interested in. The Siakam, I was hoping that something would happen there just because I think it would at least in the short term make you better.
Yeah.
Huge risk, though.
I don't
think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm looking to win it all, though.
Win?
I want to win it all. I'm not sure Alex Caruso was bringing him now, you know, changes that trajectory. And maybe not this year. If you want to say, okay, it makes this team better and gives them a building block to move forward next year, I can respect that.
He's one of those guys, and you know this, you watch. Other guys, he's not fun to play against.
True.
He'll make you feel him. The Kings right now, you watch these last four games, teams, they enjoy playing against the Kings.
Yeah.
They get behind, it's all right. We'll
no
catch
problem.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're like Toronto, we're 21 down, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. Charlotte, we're behind, we're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't, you know, as much as Mike Brown talks about, we got to make the other team feel us. He's right. They're just not capable of doing that. At least Caruso can give you a little bit of that. I just, you know, he's another guy that a lot of other teams are interested in.
He's a piece.
Yeah.
If I'm hearing you correctly, he is a piece on the trajectory of where you're heading. He plays an integral part in what the Kings are missing.
He makes you a little better short term. To your point, you know, you're thinking we want to win a championship. By the time this team's good enough to win a championship, he's probably not helping you anymore.
Yeah, like I don't see him being a part of this team. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think he is the quintessential. He's the KCP.
Mm-hmm.
He's the, you know, that type of character where it's like, we're one person away, you know, maybe two. He's one of the two, and maybe we can get by with a few things. I think the Kings need a star. I think they need, and that's hard to come by. And that's the toughest part about it is, You know, for the Kings to win a championship, I truly believe they're missing a bigger integral piece than Alex Caruso. I think he's like the last part of the car. I think we're missing.
I understand that.
Yeah, like we need a bigger part of it. Like
right.
We
he's
might
like a finishing piece.
Yes.
Like this thing isn't finished.
No.
I
yes, and
that.
I think that's where I'm looking. And I like the fact that the Kings have movement. They have ability to move around. I think that's where most people are looking at the Pascal Siakam is like, look, this can be almost a final piece to the puzzle, and then we go get a Caruso. Now, if you bring both of those guys in, now we cooking with grease. Let's talk about it. Let's build on it for the next year.
Siakam would be – he'd be a foundational piece for you if he was going to stay.
Yes.
But he's probably not going to stay. So then it's like, well, then why do we do it just to get better now?
That's why I think it won't happen.
From here, yeah. How do you build it? A championship team – from here, a team capable of winning a championship. We'll take a real quick timeout. The boos yesterday, maybe you were one of the people booing. Were the boos warranted? I'll tell you what a former NBA player told me about the booing at the Golden 1 Center yesterday. Surprising. When we come right back. Do you know what the term boat race means? I had to look it up a few years ago. I'd heard it. I know you lost by a lot. You got boat raced. Actually, it means a little more than that. It has to do with rowing. In England, Oxford, Cambridge, in like the 1800s, they would do the rowing in the Thames River. Boat race means what they would do is whoever gets to the middle of the river first, that's where the current is swiftest. So whoever got out the first, like, boom, gone, it's over. So, like, it's all you had to do. It's like, the idea, we just want to get to the middle of the river first, and then zhoosh. So it means it's over early and you have no chance. That's what getting boat raced is, and that's what happened to the Kings yesterday.
Yeah.
It was over early, and they had no chance. Pelicans got in the middle of the Sacramento River, whatever river it was, and whoosh. The Kings were never going to catch them.
Yeah, Kern, I mean, they didn't even have their sail up.
No, they didn't need it.
Yeah, they were rowing the boat, and the Pelicans had the automatic joint.
Yeah.
They had the speed boat.
Uh-huh. So, boom! Halftime, I saw Antonio Daniels, who's an analyst for the Pelicans.
Yes.
They remember last time they were here, we had him on the show. And he said, I don't remember ever. He said, when I used to play here, we play against Sacramento, I never remember the Kings getting booed in their own building. Now, I, of course, do remember, if you're a longtime Kings fan, you've seen that. But it's been a while. But he was wondering, well, it's not like they're playing hard. Why are they booing him? And it's because they got annihilated yesterday, and they didn't look like they really cared. That's the thing, right, Jay? That's why the boos were – obviously, the boos are warranted if your coach says, I apologize to everyone who paid money for that.
Yeah, expectations. I just continue to go back to that word. I think the expectations here in Sacramento has changed for good, and I believe the organization, they value that expectations are there. Some of the players are the players – they value that expectations are, and the fans. Mm-hmm. We expect different. We don't expect the run of 16 years, Kings, and, barely being challenging teams like the Pelicans who come in here. And, one of the things that popped in my mind, Whitey, when you were sitting there talking about the Kings versus some of these different teams is – and how they push back on the Kings. Like the Warriors down – I mean, the Raptors down 21. Who cares? We playing the Kings. Good teams, when they get you down, you kind of already mentally like, that game might be already over.
Right.
And for the longest, teams would come to Sacramento as a get-right game. This is a get-right game. When we come in to play the Kings, if we're on a losing streak or if we're down, this is time to work on some things. And that was one of the things that you would see, teams would come in here and their seventh and eighth and ninth player coming off the bench, they would have great games against the Kings because it was a get-right game. Mm-hmm. And now I think the expectation, at least for a lot of Kings, if I'm speaking correctly, like they don't want that no more. They don't expect this to be a get-right game. They don't expect for this team to have these type of episodes where you lose to Charlotte when Charlotte's lost 11 in a row.
Right.
You don't lose to the Pelicans by 33. It'd be different if they were competitive. And I think that's why you saw the boos.
Yep.
And for me, to answer Antonio Daniels' question, it's warranted because expectations have changed. And no longer does, as a Kings fan or, someone who watches, you hear these different people every single day who come up to us and have the opportunity and call in and those type of things, Whitey. They don't want to see that no more. They're tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
They left that behind last year, prior to last year when they didn't make the playoffs 16 years ago. And now, look, tickets are higher. It's a little more expensive to slide through the G1C. It's a little more to go down there and park if you choose to drive. It's not Arco. They don't have their self-parking.
Right.
You got to find you a garage or somewhere to slide in. It's a great situation to have that. But let me give you an example real quick, Whitey. In my music career, managing folks and being around music for years and working at Time Warner and all these different things, I tell the generation, I say this to my daughter now quite a bit. As I know, I'm becoming an OG here, Whitey.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm blessed to be here, by the way. When I was growing up, especially for you, you had to go out to a store to buy a person's music. That was a tape, a record, a track, whatever you at your time. You had to actually put effort in to go buy someone's art.
I never bought an 8-track, by the way.
I'm just saying. I know. I'm not saying you. I'm just, playing to our audience. You never know.
Gotcha. Sure.
Now, you don't have to. YouTube, press a button, get on your phone. Most of us have some type of subscription to a music, music subscription. And it's a lot easier to play music. I don't like it. Bye. Skip. Fast. Yeah. Where you have to put the time and the effort. I used to have to ask my mom to take me to Tower and Virgin and Sam Goody and all these type of places.
The
warehouse. Exactly. That was a thing.
I know.
That was time, effort, my hard-earned money, whatever case it was, my parents, my mom's hard-earned money. That was the thing. And so now with the glitz and the glamour of Golden One Center and with the Kings being hopefully on the up and up, we expect more. It's expectations.
Yep.
And that's it. So when you're not happy.
But it's not like we expect that much more. It's not like these are unrealistic expectations, right? They're not unreasonable expectations.
Agreed. That's why you don't go out there and get tap danced on for 33.
Yes.
Agreed.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, because you took your hard-earned money, your time, the effort to get up to the arena, have a great time, not saying it's not a great experience, I'm also saying you have the right to go in there and boo.
Right.
You don't like what you're getting? Go ahead and let somebody know. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. TC has been hanging on. What's up, TC? How are you?
Yeah, what's up with my guys?
Were you booing yesterday, TC?
Yeah, man, I was watching from the TV, man, I was booing. But see, unfortunately, like me, we all diehards or whatnot. I watched the whole game. I said the Niners lost by 1 point. I was watching the Kings game. Imagine in my mind, I said, you know what? If they can get a mini run going on, come back in this game. This would be one of the biggest comebacks ever.
Yeah.
That's how I was thinking, man. Jake, give me a minute, man. But seriously, though, so after I seen that, I said, man, these dudes need to step up. Seriously, man. Mike Brown coming out apologizing and all that. Man, this team needs to step up, but Monty needs to make moves, period, point blank, even if this team goes on a winning streak. And the moves that I have, I'm not out on Siakam, but I'm out on Siakam. Now, I'm saying, you know what, Monty, turn towards Kuzma. He can be traded into the 15th. And if they offer in, if they want 2 first-round picks, give it to him, Monty, 2028 and 2030 for Kyle Kuzma. I'm taking that. Then I'm turning around. I got a couple trades. I got 2 more. Then I'm turning around. And I'm going over there to Portland. What y'all want to do for Thybul? I got Davion and a second-round pick.
All right.
Thybul. Also, Atlanta got the fire sale going on. So now check it out. What y'all want to swing for Clint Capella? What y'all want Kevin back? Or y'all want Barnes and some type of little weird package that we can do a couple second rounds for Clint Capella? That would be a steal. Kyle Kuzma, Clint Capella, and Thybul. That's the 3 moves.
Thank you, GFTC. Appreciate that. I have been since the summer anti-Kuzma, but after yesterday, you're saying Kuzma. I'm like, yep, why not? Why not? When we come right back, Kyle Draper should be joining us from the wonderful city of Detroit. See what he thinks of TC's deals and your deals. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. We've been struggling all day to find answers to whatever that was that happened to the Kings yesterday. Thanks for being with us, Drive Guys. You know that Kyle Draper is in Detroit today, so Jay filling in and joining us now after it had to be some kind of flight for the Kings. Here is the one and only Kyle Draper. Drapes, how you doing after that embarrassing loss yesterday?
Oh, man, I tell you what, Whitey and Jay, I'm just I'm still hurt.
Yeah.
I'm still emotional. Uh-huh. You know, we hopped on that plane, flew to Detroit, went to practice, and I'm still like – hurt by it all, man. And I said it on the post game show. It's just like, these are our guys. These are the guys we cheer for. And if I have them lay down like that and not come out with any sort of sense of urgency, you know, it stings, man. It's like having a kid or a girlfriend or a wife or a husband, whatever it may be. And you're just disappointed. And that's what I came away from yesterday. Just a feeling of disappointment.
What was the very least you expected from the Kings? We know that it's a tough matchup. Mike Brown said, you know, you got to give him credit. But Mike Brown also said, we brought no fight whatsoever. What was the very least you expected from the Kings yesterday, Kyle, that you didn't feel you saw?
Yeah, I expected at least some fight, some passion. You know, I thought if they were going to lose the game, it would be because shots didn't fall. You know, that happens sometimes. But there was no energy from the team, and in turn the crowd right from the jump, like right from the get-go. And I know us in the media, we like to hype things up, you know, oh, this is a big game, must win and all this. But you got to feel like at some point the players and coaches felt that way too, in terms of, all right, these guys have kicked our butt, we got to have a good showing. And I go back to disappointment. That's the most disappointing thing. We all knew what that game meant. Sure, it's just one of 82, but it meant so much more. And the Pelicans, give them credit. They came out with a sense of urgency. And, you know, one thing I noticed, too, when looking at the Pelicans, they're an elite defensive team, and they stick to their defensive principles. And, you know, they may not have the big names, the all-NBA players or anything like that, but they play together, especially defensively, as a team, and they follow what the coaches are preaching. You know, I think at sometimes, you know, we may have a game plan, but sometimes we'll veer from that game plan defensively, and that's frustrating.
Drapes, I don't mean to jump ahead and you know, just forget about yesterday, but the great part about having someone like yourself on this show, being a part of this show, is you get to be around the team, hence the flight, heading to Detroit, and of course the practices and getting to sit in. What's your thoughts on how the team has bounced back from yesterday?
It's interesting. I think you could sense a sense of, how should I put this, embarrassment, if you will, you know.
Sure.
Like, guys aren't walking around with their heads held high, like, yeah, you know, we the Kings, we, you know, you just don't get, if you get that feeling like, you know what, you know, I'm king of the analogies and cliches, fellas, and I'm gonna put it to you like this. I feel like our guys are like a puppy dog who just got scolded, and they know they did something wrong. So the heads hang a little low and things like that. I feel like they're embarrassed. Like, they know what we saw last night was not who they want to be and who they are. And so, like you said, GJ, the best thing about the NBA, man, you get to turn it around tomorrow. And we've seen this from time and time again this season with this team. It's like, our hope is that what we saw the other night won't happen again. They'll come out fired up, ready to go. But I don't know. You just never know with this team. And I think that's the frustrating thing, fans.
Drapes, yesterday at halftime, I was talking to your friend Antonio Daniels, and he was saying, oh, you know, he said, and all the time I played here against the Kings, he said, I don't think I ever heard fans booing them, which some of us, we have heard that, but it's been a while. What did you make of that? I know from what Mike Brown said yesterday, you know, when he apologized to those who paid for it, I think you'd have to say that booing was warranted.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel bad for the fans. And some of them, you know, voiced their displeasure to me as they were leaving. You know, Drapes, I don't believe this, you know. And I get it. And I understand that. And, you know, we talk about how this is the best fan base in the league. And they are. And they deserve better than what we saw yesterday. That's for sure. And I'm a firm believer, guys, that fans, you know, you have every right to boo. If your team's not getting it done, let them know. Because, you know, we know as well as everybody, these tickets aren't cheap, you know, especially it's family day. So you got the kids out there, you got the husband, wife, family of four, you're spending several hundred dollars to buy a food and then to lay down like that. And so, no, rightfully so. And I will say this, it's on players because they didn't give the fans a chance to even engage in this game. Like, we got down right from the jump.
Yep.
Pretty much. I mean, De'Aaron Fox hit the first, you know, three, but after that, it was all Pelicans.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so we didn't even go on a nice little 10-0 run, 12-0 run to get back in the game to give our fans any kind of hope. I mean, our fans were sitting there with their hands under their butts because what else could you do? And I said it on the postgame show. I'm walking on the concourse, fellas, and I felt like I was in The Walking Dead. I felt like I was amongst zombies because we were just in shock at what was taking place. And I blame the players and the coaches and the team. That can't happen, man, especially at home. You're going to lose game. And I said it too. If you get blown out by the Celtics, Bucks, you know, Minnesota's great this year, but the Pelicans, a team that kicked your butt three times already, man, that shows a lack of pride, a lack of fight, and that's not what we want our team to be.
You know, Drapes, it's funny because I think a lot of what you feel is kind of what I feel, and I think Whitey, but correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm speaking out of turn here, and I believe what a lot of the Kings fans and onlookers saw yesterday, and to kind of use what you say, an analogy, one of the things when my daughter gets in trouble is she always asks me, Dad, are you disappointed in me? Compared to, am I just getting in trouble? Like, did I hurt your feelings?
I think
part of yesterday's game, more than ever, like, Charlotte, for me, was kind of one of them things, like, damn. Like, that's how y'all feel? Y'all going to go out there and do that to me? Like, and I think yesterday was kind of the ultimate, like, man, you hurt my feelings type of situation. Is that kind of like what you were seeing from some of the fans yesterday? Because I know you like to hobnob and rub elbows.
I do. I like to kiss the babies and take the photos and
as
everything.
As you're supposed to.
Yes, 100%, Jay. And I'm doing the post-game show, and I said it, man. And there's a clip out there on social media. I said, I'm hurt. I'm sad. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. Like, I was going through all the stages of grief right there yesterday because it did feel personal. I mean, how many times are we going to let a team kick our butt, you know? And so I felt for the guys. I felt for the coaches, the players, because, you know, we don't want this reputation as soft. And that's what we looked like yesterday.
Yeah.
And we look soft. Like, the Pelicans, give them a ton of credit. Like, they play with an edge, especially, like, they save their best for us. I mean, Herb Jones is fantastic. I tell you, that's who we need. Anyway, hey, I give up 2 first-round picks for Herb Jones right now. We need a Herb Jones on it because that dude is long, athletic, can defend. He plays with an edge defensively. And so it's like, man, they just – embarrassed us in front of our own building. And I was talking to somebody here at practice earlier. I said, we gotta wear this until next game. Like, we gotta feel this pain and this hurt until we take the floor next game.
Yeah. Here's where I am with the Drapes. You know, we've seen it before, and I think it was a week ago when we were getting ready for the Charlotte game, and you were saying, and understandably, you were saying, you know, we gotta get off this roller coaster. And, you know, we just haven't been able to. We wish we could. To me, it's like, I don't wonder anymore. Initially, when the Kings would play great, then they'd play badly, I would wonder, well, who are they? And now I feel like I've seen it enough to know that, no, that's part of who they really are until they get better defensively. Yeah. And I think Mike Brown talked about that. And to me, it just underscores the need to do something to improve the team defensively. Presumably, that's with a deal. But I think until they're able to make other teams feel them defensively on a more consistent basis – I think we're going to get these every so often, and right, it's unacceptable right now.
No, you're right, and I think what you need is a defensive tone setter.
Yeah,
we need Davion. We know Davion can play deep, but he's coming off the bench. We need somebody, whether it's Fox, whether it's HB, somebody to set the tone defensively. And if those guys aren't doing it, then we need to go out there and bring in somebody that can set the tone defensively. Because, you know, we're looking inward and hoping these guys all of a sudden turn into this top 15 defensive team, and maybe they just don't have it in them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they don't have the ability. I'm saying they don't have the effort and determination. And I was listening to you guys earlier, and we were talking about, what did you say, Jay? We need somebody to bring ruckus.
Yeah,
we need
absolutely.
You know what? I go back 2 years ago. We need Marcus Smart. That's what
yes.
we need.
Yeah, agreed.
We need, because I what happened yesterday, sure, it may happen, but I tell you what, Marcus Smart is throwing something. He's challenging somebody. He's doing something. It ain't going to be sweet. So we need somebody defensively can set the tone. And when things start to go sideways, we can see the passion, the fight on them. Like, that's what disappointed me about our guys yesterday. They just had a blank stare. You know what it was? They just got their butts kicked, and they took it and asked for another one.
May
I have another? Exactly. Yeah. They just took it last night, and that's what's so frustrating.
Accepted it, basically. Yeah. Yep. Drapes, 2 of the next 14 are at home, which is, for me, is very interesting for this Kings, especially right now coming off the 2-2 homestand out of the 4 games.
Crucial stretch.
Yeah, it is. And Whitey said earlier – he believes this is where the other Nike drops.
Unless something is done. Yes.
He said this is where the other, the Concord patent leather 11 drops right here. So I guess what my question to you, KD, is do you think, because this is the one thing about it, the Kings did very well on the road last year compared to home. It was like the opposite.
Yeah,
it almost felt like they wanted to be on the road compared to the expectations or, you know, the 1-2 here, being here. And so what do you think being on the road for your next, what, that'd be 12 out of 14?
And it's a tough road too, man. You got the first two games, then you got Milwaukee, Philly, and Phoenix. And I think these next 2-3 weeks will make or break this season. I honestly think this stretch is that important. And, you know, talk about the roller coaster, and it's going to be some ups and downs. I understand that. But I'm talking about psychologically with this team. Will the guys stay together? Can we keep this together? Because right now it's hard. Like, imagine we're riding a roller coaster. You got to imagine that they're seeing the same thing. They're seeing, you know, 7 double-digit losses, or, you know, 7 losses of 17 or more, whatever that number is. Like, they got to be feeling that also. And so I think, you know, a lot of times they say teams bond together on a road, and it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if they have any team-building, team-bonding activities. I didn't see anything, but they got to come together. And, you know, Mike Brown talked about it after the game. We hear it all the time. Players got to look at themselves in the mirror and can't look to the coaches or the game plans. No. And are you doing the best you can individually to help this team? And that's the point where we are right now. Because I think before the All-Star break, it can make or break this team season.
Great stuff, Drapes. We appreciate it. So you're back with us tomorrow, right? You and I doing a short one tomorrow before the game?
Yeah. Yes.
Don't let them off the hook. Wait. We're not finished.
We are finished
on this interview. We don't have nowhere to go. Yeah. Dinner. What time dinner start, Drake?
Dude, it's late out here.
I know
man.
It you is. It's 7:45.
Like 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Man, have you had dinner yet?
No.
Then that stomach can hold on for another 10 minutes. Let's talk about.
I was going to let you off the hook.
No,
nah,
ain't no hook letting off. Do you think he would let you off the hook? I just want to hear your take of your boys heading into the playoffs, because honestly,
I wasn't going to do this to you, Drake.
I'm a big boy, Whitey. I can defend myself. Have to be through with the Philadelphia. And I heard you say this maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm ready for the season to be done. Is it fine? Like, is it finality now? Like, has all the hope been thrown in?
Not all hope. I mean, but you know, I'm a fan glutton for punishment. I still believe there's a slimmer of hope there. You know, this team can turn it around. But am I fooling myself? And I honestly, changes need to be made. Personnel, coaching wise, I don't think player wise too. I think maybe there might be some bad apples in that locker room that when the times get tough, you know, they start chirping and talking and pouting and everything like that. And it's interesting. I don't know if you guys saw that interview with Javon Hargreaves. I forget who he did it with. And he talked about the difference between Philly and San Francisco. He likened it to the Niners being more like the Miami Heat. You put in the work, you're grinding, you know. Kyle Shanahan is like Pat Riley. Then he said the Eagles are more like Golden State. Laid back, chill, everything will be all right. Steve Kerr, Nick Sirianni. And I think what you're seeing with Philly is they lost that edge. You know, it's sort of everything's not sweet. And they just feel like, oh, we can turn it on. And then you go to turn that switch and the light doesn't come on. And so y'all can hammer me. Y'all can hammer me all you want. Niners lost 2 this week. I mean, come on, you know, Niners lost 2.
But it was for nothing, though, Drapes. I mean, you were playing. We me and you should have went out and got some snaps for the Niners, man. That's what you're riding with, brother? Of all the things the Niners lost this week to?
Hold up, Jay. Hold up.
Come on, man.
It's funny. Somebody tweeted at me. Where you been at, Drapes? I ain't heard from you. Crickets. And I ain't got nothing to say. When your team is getting their butt kicked, you just be quiet. You know,
like, just take it.
you just take it. I can't defend these guys.
I thought you were going to say that Sam Darnold's game proves that Purdy is a system quarterback. I thought you were going to go there.
Right? No. We already know that. We already know that.
Go ahead, Drake.
Go ahead. I'm saying, bringing up my Pascal Siakam story from the other day.
Oh, well, I was going to let you do that.
I'm going
to let you do that.
Nobody ain't saying Drapes. You were right about that.
Nah, but there was something to it. I mean, they did talk, though, right? There were talks.
But we knew that. But I told you, it's not going to happen. I mean, not right now anyway. Now, Toronto may get desperate at the trade deadline, but it just didn't make sense at the time. And so I didn't allow myself writing, unlike you.
Oh, I was all Jay, in. I admit.
It wasn't me. I said I agree with you. I thought Masai Ujiri and the Raptors were conjuring this up. I'm with you. I don't think the Kings have a shot to get past
Pascal. So is here where it is, Drapes? Is it kind of like the Kings said, we'll give you this? Toronto said, no, that ain't enough. And then the Kings said, well, let us know if you change your mind. And that's kind of where it is. And they probably are not going to come back to him.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's sort of similar. Yeah, something like that. Toronto looked at the roster and said, I want this guy or this guy. And Monty said, nope. All right, talk to you later.
I heard Monk's name. I know you hear a lot. I heard Monk's name might have come up, too.
I heard that, but I didn't hear that from anybody I know.
Right.
We're still a month away from the deadline, you know, exactly 1 month from today. And so teams aren't desperate yet.
Right.
The Raptors aren't as desperate just yet. Now, if it's February 5th and they look and say, dang, ain't nobody, you know, biting on this, then maybe they get desperate and sell low.
Right.
But we still got a lot of time and a lot of teams. You know, you look at the Lakers, they're reeling right now, the Warriors. And so if I'm Toronto, I'm not making that deal right now.
Right.
I want teams to present their best offers and then I'll make that deal.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. I apologize for Jake going after you. On the Eagles.
Apologize for me, Whitey. This ain't no greeting card. The fact of the matter is, he got to take the smoke because the Eagles getting smoked out right now. That's all. It's brisket.
It ended for me December 3rd, big fella.
Yeah.
Once we lost to the Niners, it was a wrap. It was like, you know what? They not real. They not about this life. They ain't trying to win.
But just the fall off so quick, though, Drapes. Like, I thought, okay, you know, those were heavyweights and they were swinging. And I thought, you know, it was one heavyweight loss, but you had opportunity to bounce back. Mm-hmm. You know, let me get a get-right fight, so to say, in boxing, and then I'll bounce back and see you in the playoffs. For whatever reason, it's just like Philadelphia has just lost their, as you said, their swagger, their belief.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, something going on behind the scenes, right? I mean, that the way they're playing right now is just, it's like they don't even believe themselves, you know, that they can win. Like, they're playing as if they can't wait for the season to get over, you know? And so, as a fan, it's disappointing, man, because I thought they had the talent to get back there. But my hope isn't high. You know what? They might go down to Tampa and get smoked this week, seriously, because I just get the feeling. I mean, you see how bad they look against the Giants? Like you said, they still had something to play for. Like, Dallas barely squeaked by. Like, they still had something to play for. And so, I just think they're ready to get it over with. And I don't know if the coach is going to be there, defensive coordinator. I don't know what needs to happen, but they got some internal issues they got to figure out.
All right. Thanks, Drapes. Rest up. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Uh-huh. That's Kyle Draper from Detroit.
He
said the Cowboys just snuck by yesterday. I thought they actually.
That's how you know he stopped watching, because in the first quarter and a half. The first quarter was tight. Then they went up 14-10, and then they 21-10 by half.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just brisket. You know, it was a smoke out, 24-hour brisket.
Yep.
So you could tell as an Eagle fan, he just stopped watching early.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. I would have too, as Michigan takes the lead over Washington. First touchdown, opening drive, Donovan Edwards on about a 40-yard run or so.
Huskies,
but that's how you know he had checked out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because he was like, oh, yeah, I just watched the first quarter, second quarter. And then, you know what, let me go ahead and prep for the Kings real quick.
Squeaked by yesterday. Yeah. When we come back, Mike Brown apologizing to fans. Apology accepted. Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.